ignoring my remarks. Next week the luggage and things will be taken in a truck and Ma will be there to see the things in. And when we are settled, the Gov and Ma will return here in order to see that everything is all right, clean and all that, and will take the key to the landlord. By now the snows were melting, and the ice in the lake was breaking up and floating down the river. Storms reminded us that the summer was not yet upon us. But we could sense that the worst was over. Living in Canada was amazingly expensive. Everything was twice, or more, the cost that it would have been in Ireland or France. Writing or television world found by bitter experience that firms in Canada do not want settlers unless they were, as the Gov put it, Buck Navvies. Finding that he could not get into writing or television, he tried anything, and found again that he was not wanted. None of us liked Canada. There was a remarkable lack of culture, a remarkable lack of appreciation of the finer things of life. Sold myself with the thought that soon summer would be here and we would all feel better. Went for a ride one day. I think they went to a shop in order to get a supply of peat moss. Ma and I made the beds and did a few odd jobs about the house. The stairs had to be dusted, and the old newspapers put aside, and that they were back. Thief, what, you're really the monkey again? Cynically, no, thief, we are not going to have a monkey, we are going to have two of the little horrors. Swim for it with two of the things working overtime in the floods department. Perhaps they will be kept in the sun porch. We could not have two wild monkeys racing around. These two are in good working order, guaranteed, satisfaction or refund of money. She exhaled gustily and said, Buttercup is going to see the man Heady soon, she loves monkeys. Of reputation, I remember one in France. It was the pet of a retired seaman and it is capped one day and almost wrecked a fruit shop. See it, mind, a lady named Madame Butterball told me about it. She ran a veterinary hospital. Patient there, she told me the history of the cage's last occupant, that monkey who cut himself by falling through a showcase. We were busy packing, so many things had to be put into cases. Miss Gu and I worked overtime stamping on things to make them take up less space in the trunks. To rake things out of a packed case in order to make sure that nothing had been forgotten. Crump up tissue paper, because everyone knows that scrumped up tissue is softer than the stiff new stuff. I'm proud to think that we helped so much toward making clean sheets ready for use. Straight from the laundry, stiff and unfriendly, Miss Gu and I worked out a special system of running up and down the sheets until they were soft and pliable and no longer had the hard folds of freshly ironed sheets. Was monkey cage in Mattis, adjuvant him in sections? No, vunks my wife she liked to see. No, title plenty of porch is complete net dead it will be m- as well. Humble up into and came back with the news that the cage was finished and was being erected at the new house. Each trip that the Gov made to Windsor, more and more things were taken to see that everything was all right and came back to say, well, thief, tomorrow you shall sleep in the city of Windsor, where we can look across and see the sights of Detroit. It's they are, too. Some of them come over here in their flashy cars. They bring dollars into the country. Good for trade and all that. To prove him, he would have a thin stick with something that rattled on the end, and as he drew it along the floor I could chase it by sound. Of course he let me catch it very often, just to give me confidence. Letting me catch the stick, but I pretended to him that I did not. This evening he ruffled my fur and stroked my chest. Early to bed, thief, for we have a busy day tomorrow. Said Ma and Buttercup, good night. We replied. Then I heard the click of the light switch as the Gov turned it off for the last time in this house. Tomorrow, the day, and would take us to another house, for tonight, I lay down and slept and, hey ho, sang Miss Gu, so off again we go. All round the world so large, like a tomcat on a barge. Motor to this Windsor city, to move again would be our, resign yourself to it, you are no more musical than I am. Eating a long past dawn with song to her she wandered off, muttering, you don't appreciate art, that's what you don't. Lazily, soon we would have breakfast. Already Ma was bustling about in the kitchen. The clatter of dishes came to my ears, then, coming, Ma, I replied as I felt for the edge of the bed and jumped off onto the floor. It's an adventure, that getting off the bed in the morning. Senses and perceptions are not so acute when one is barely awake. And I always had a mild fear that I might jump in the Gov's shoes or something. Fear, though, because exceptional care was taken that I should come to no harm at your beck and early this morning. I smiled up at her and sat down to breakfast. No, the Ra suggested to them they just call idly, and that made complications as the Gov would never see anyone who just called and demanded admittance. When the family lived in Ireland, before I appeared on the scene, a woman arrived from Germany and demanded instant admittance as she wanted to sit at the feet of the Lama to move by Mr. Loftus. Looking very fierce and martial in his smart uniform, moving was a matter which did not concern Miss Gu and me. Firm had loaded our things and driven off, wandered around the house saying goodbye to the rooms. We were glad, for this house had never felt friendly. Carried, well wrapped, to the warm car and we drove off. The road was bad, very bad, like so many Canadian roads. But there was a sign reading, "Broken road, drive at your own risk." Sing. Miss Koo called where our food came from, Fife, a place called Stop and Shop, was wrinkled at an familiar odor, an odor which reminded me of Mr. the Irish vet and his Irish cat hospital. We laughed, "Don't be such a sissy, Fife. This is just a human hospital where they take people who are just about finished." And she said, "And here is where motor cars are made. We are passing the Ford factory. I'll tell you all, Fife. I'll give you the gen. Igway, it reminds me of the French vineyards, yet it is a different smell." "Sure it is," said Miss Gu. "Here is a factory where they make drink stuff, which could feed starving people, is mashed up to make a drink of sorts which people would be better without. Every train from anywhere to Windsor passes under this bridge." We drove on a little and then there was such a resounding crash, and stopped. "Home, Fife," said Margaret Path. Through the front door and up the stairs. "Smell of fresh varnish and soap. Polished the floor later and tell you about the place. Some new furniture, Sheila. Call the geese." Now the opening and the whereabouts of chairs. Back porch. A blast of cold air in a porch, screened on three sides. Shortly it will be Monkey Hall. Be heated. Too cold here. Door with a sigh of relief and another sigh for silly cats who wandered around, to her. Aimlessly. "The bedroom you will share with the Gov. It looks out over the railroad, over the Detroit River and Detroit City. In the summer, so I am told, ships from all over the world come past this window." "See, we shall see." Ament, describing the views, "is the place where some men dug a hole beneath the river and made a roadway to America. Further left is the Ambassador Bridge. 'Tis a corruption of the French for the Straits." "About that, Fife." That her tail swept across my face. "Golly, man is staring up at me. He is carrying an official-looking briefcase, too." By the rattle and crash of trains past the window and the stairs to collect the milk and a letter which she handed to the Gov. And then silence as the Gov read, "My goodness, of Canadian officials, listen to this. The Department of National Revenue, it starts. Dear sir. Information received by this office indicates that you are making rental payments to a non-resident of Canada and are not withholding tax. Since you have failed to withhold tax since May 1, 1959, you are required to withhold sufficient monies from your next rental payment to cover the amount of tax which should have been withheld. Fail to withhold tax as required by the Income Tax Acts, you will be penalized in accordance with. You see? We moved in yesterday and already we get threats. It's from a nightmare and find that we were back in dear old Ireland. Why do these immature Canadians threaten and bluster soak the whole matter up with officials in Ottawa? Yesterday was a tax spy. We list a deportation in the very first letter they sent me, asking me to go to the medical officer of health. They threaten me with deportation if I don't go, threaten all sorts of penalties, that the Wild West days are over, under the bed lee by. Gradually we became accustomed to the noises of the trains. Awful fuss about the threatening letters, and received apologies from the local tax people and also from the Ottawa government. Papers about the Canadian officials who tried to intimidate settlers. Former and Miss Gu and I were able to sit on the balcony and play in the garden downstairs. Walkerville Post Office with quite a lot of mail, as usual. But this day in particular he brought a very nice letter from Mrs. O'Grady. "I miss her," said Ma. "I wish she could come out and see us for a time." Then he said, "She was a good friend to us." Amazement head at last, whispered Miss Gu. "That's what Canada has done to him. She will be here the same time as the Queen of England. England, and Mrs. Agrady of Era here at the same time. How the Queen will pass up the river right in front of us. Pete's sake, let us know soon. Quite unconscious humor, said, well thief, now that we have finally got rid of the monkeys we are going to have Mrs. Agrady. Loved Mrs. Agrady, and counted her as a very true friend. And pointed out that Miss Goo made it appear that Viog was in the same class as the monkeys, with her usual wit, turned it back on me with, nonsense, thief. Anyone but you would realize that after the storm comes the sunshine. Shine after the monkey storm. A storm, as I heartily agreed. Soon after we had moved into the Riverside Drive house, Mr. the Dutch carpenter had arrived with a truck and the cage. Vor do bring mine wife. Vor do see de monkeys, yesp? Said yes, he could bring his wife for to see de monkeys when they were installed. Mr. the Dutch carpenter and Mr. the Dutch carpenter's son carried up all the pieces and worked mightily, well, not too mightily, to assemble the affair. Up their hands, stood back, and waited for the dollars. It settled, they went off after assurances that Mrs. the Dutch carpenter's wife should be invited to Monkey Hall. Two monkeys arrived, in a big basket of course. The vibe in the indoors was madness. It seemed that hordes of monkeys were racing around. Stay near the wall, thief, and then I shall be safe to grab you and pull you back if a monkey reaches in for you. Monkey was caught and put in the cage, and then after further struggles, the second, Browse, rose to her feet and formed herself into a one-woman sanitary corps to go round the house and remove monkey trademarks which were distributed everywhere with amazing profusion. As Miss Koo wisely remarked, my golly, don't fly, thief. To its pre-monkey state, experiment was not a success. The general commotion which the creatures caused was too much. A frantic plea went out to the man called Heady. Yes, he agreed. These wild monkeys from the South American forests were not really suitable for private homes, but only for zoos. And suitable for a pet, a pale and shaken family said, unanimously, no. Take these back, too, as good measure. A large specially made cage went back about the house with greater confidence, no longer constantly on the alert for monkeys which might have escaped. And after the sun porch had been thoroughly washed several times, we spent much time out there. It was a pleasant spot, where the sun shone upon us in the mornings and where we could smell flowers and growing things from the gardens nearby. At the monkeys, but only in retrospect, our joy at the departure of the monkeys was soon increased by a letter from Mrs. Agrady. She wrote, her husband was glad she would have such an opportunity to travel. What was he? I whispered to Miss Goo. He was avis to speak so that all the world could hear. Then he was called Sparks, and added, I think he was something to do with radio. Yes, it must be. He makes all the electricity for Dublin now. It figures, it figures. They any family, Miss Goo? Kit Samuel Dog, who looks after the place, is nearly as old as you, thief. The weeks slipped by. Next week is going to be busy and noisy. England is coming to Windsor. There will be bands and fireworks. Mrs. Agrady and Doris will arrive today. Possible for thief's safety. There was most extra elbow grease on the place. The governed we cats used extra energy keeping out of the way so that we should not be swept up in the attic, said Miss Koo at last. Up make the place dangerous to live in. It's hot, terribly hot. Miss Koo and I found it hard work to even breathe. It was exceptionally cold, so was this, the hot season. Exceptionally hot. Cool weather. Ma had gone to Montreal the day before so that she could fly back with Mrs. Agrady. At 1 o'clock of arrival day the Gov got out the big car and drove off to Windsor Airport, and kept looking out of the window. There was much to see. Within a very few days there would be processions, bands, and aeroplane flyovers. The English Queen, who was in the district, firework displays, which I knew meant many big bangs, waiting for our friend Mrs. Agrady at lunch in order to fortify ourselves. Up was peering out of the window. Suddenly she said, ah, here they are, speak cat, and then she ran down the stairs to open the front door. Clut an afterthought, you keep close to me and I will see you are all right. Commotion on the stairs, chattering and laughing, and the sound of cases being dropped on the floor, looking as hot as a newly fried rasher of bacon. Hope she survives. Mrs. Agrady flopped in the nearest chair. Had recovered somewhat. Ma said, come out on the balcony, it may be cooler there. But talk of Ireland, a subject dear to the heart of the governed Ma. English Queen, a subject dear to the heart of Buttercup, but which left the gov unmoved. Getting hotter and hotter, retired to the lower apartment where she cooled off in best Windsor City water and eventually returned looking a little refreshed. Arranged for Mrs. O'Grady and daughter to stay at a very good hotel, the Metropole, and after they had stopped long enough to see the lights of Detroit, the gov and Ma drove them to the hotel. Miss Goo went to show the gov the way and tell him the best way to drive for half an hour, then the gov, Ma and Miss Koo returned and we all went to bed to rest in preparation for another day. Windsor, so they know what sort of a place it is. Voter has started into the garage. Our landlady lived in Detroit, but in Windsor her affairs were well looked after by her cousin, a very pleasant lady who always spoke most politely to Miss Koo and me. Liked her a lot. Our car was too large to enter the garage of our house, so Miss Landlady's cousin let us keep it in her garage, which was very, very large indeed. A very pleasant woman indeed, and talked to us a lot. I remember that one day she told us that within the lifetime of her father all the settlers worked with guns beside them because of the very real threat of Indian raids, where now the railroad tracks run. Another house a very few miles from Windsor, which was a real log cabin made of walnut logs. See it once and was very impressed with the strange creatures living beneath the steps. Grasshoppers. Nestle dust bath. From the topmost ridge of the house Miss Goo looked down into the street, some 40 feet away. Come, she called, and dropped lightly to the attic floor. Stairs. We were just in time to greet them as they came in. Shmorpie Park. A trip round the city to sit and recover from the heat, but onto the balcony. Was very interested indeed in the sights of the river, with ships from all over the world passing along before her eyes. Some seaman said that that was the reason for the presence of the ships. Not at all understand it, and Miss Koo was very vague, but it appeared that some humans had dug a ditch to let water from the Great Lakes flow faster to the sea. Certain American cities were taking too much water. Locks were installed and some Canadians kept the keys to unlock some water in order that a ship could float in. Then they locked a door behind and unlocked another in front. All mysterious to Miss Goo and me, but the gov knew about it and he told Mrs. O'Grady, who seemed to understand what it was all about. A few days went by, with the family taking Mrs. O'Grady about to see the sights. Waste of time, as Miss Koo said, they passed by our window. Woodman, isn't she a sight? Much activity about in front of our house. Men were putting up decorations and putting down containers for litter. Just men roared along the water, yelling loudly in order to show their importance. Women sat on the railroad tracks, looking out across the water, and throngs of stationary cars jammed the roads. Did a live photography. And on this day he had a three-legged thing with a camera on the top. On the camera he had what Miss Koo called a telephoto, powerful enough to photograph a cat in Detroit. On her chair, oriented by red-coated Canadian Mounties. Sighed. No, Mrs. O'Grady, they are not Mounties. That is a train loaded with red-painted farm tractors which have been exported from Canada. He looked like red-coated troops, so anyone at all could be excused from such an innocent mistake. More ships were coming up the river. Lee hushed, then a babble of talk and a few cheers broke out. Standing alone on the after deck. Got a photo of that helicopter, said the gov. A man was leaning out and photographing the ships below him. And as the last vessel moved out of sight, the cars on the road started up again. The crowds dispersed and, as Miss Koo said, all that was left to remind us was about half a ton of litter. And the train ferries crossed and recrossed the river, and trains thundered and hooted along the tracks before our air windows. While there was yet light, some barges were towed out into the river and positioned on the water, where Canada became America, and America became Canada. Fireworks were to be discharged from that position. Both countries, and not just one, would be responsible for any damage caused. Cables, particularly the latter, with them aboard the ships that they could not come any further. Hour arrived. Nothing happened. A man called out and said that one of the set pieces has fallen in the water. Came a few weak bangs, not really loud enough to frighten a newborn kitten, and Miss Koo said there were a few strange lights in the sky. Then it was all over. The hotel was told that all taxis were held up in traffic jams. A million people or more on the waterfront, she was told, and traffic is packed solid. He, Ma, and Mrs. O'Grady disappeared into the crowd and said that they had taken an hour to do 2 miles and a lot and then came back to Miss Goo and me, in crammed into one. All too soon the aeroplane people had to fly a plane back to Ireland, to Shannon from whence we had set out. Later, they waited until the plane actually took off. We wished we could do. Tried hard to get work in Windsor, or in Canada. Have a job as a manual laborer, and that was just too silly for words. For the day when we can leave it is not a treatise on the faults of Canada that would fill a complete library. Anyway, we're often able to go out in the garden now, never alone of course, because of the many dogs in the district. Are not afraid of dogs, but humans are afraid of what we could do to the dogs. In Klaus, and ride him like a human rides a horse. Apparently it was permissible for humans to strap steel spikes on their heels and then tear a horse's sides with them, but if we sank our claws into a dog in self-defense we were termed savage. Together beneath the Gov's chair, he is very big, weighing 225 pounds and needs a big chair. When a whole collection of cars went by with horns shrieking the place down. Any sense in things they did to make all this noise? Redite, and being sighted she had a great advantage over me. I'll tell you, thief, she replied. When a Tom and a Queen human gets married, they stick ribbons on the cars and then drive in procession with horns blaring all the time. The funeral cars keep their headlights full on and have blue and white flags marked funeral flying from the side of the cars, to weigh over all traffic and do not have to stop for traffic lights. Most interesting, Miss G, most interesting, I said. Chewed a blade of grass for a few moments, then said, I could tell you a lot about Canada. Here, for instance, when a human dies they take the body off to a funeral home, fix him or her up, embalming they call it, do up the face with paints, and put them on show in their coffins, or caskets as they are called over here. Then a party calls to pay the last respects. Sometimes a body will be half sitting up in the casket. As these funeral homes are the biggest money-making racket ever. People are going to get married, their friends give them a shower. Them a bath, you know, a shower bath. And they are showered with gifts. Don't want, or things which everyone gives them. Half a dozen coffee percolators, she sighed. It is a crazy country, anyhow, she said. Same with the children. Dear little children, don't be cross with them, have special guards to escort them across the roads. Treat them as if they have no brains of their own, which is fair enough. But the point is, the day they leave school for the last time, they are on their own. Health of the human kitten. They can do no wrong. Bad for them, thief. Bad for the country. And a crime through being treated too softly when young. Kids here are creeps, punks. Bulge a kitten to adult. If you cats want to stay here longer, he said, I will go upstairs and get the camera's roses for, and had a wonderful collection of color slides. From to the wire mesh fence at the side of the garden. She and the cat from across the road whispered for a time, then Miss Koo returned and sat by me again. Slang, she said, nothing important. His camera in order to photograph the flowers did under some bushes, for we hated to have our photographs taken. Hated to be stared at by curious sightseers, too. Was in the car window, pointing to Miss Goo and saying, what is it, a monkey? Hot all over every time she thought of it. Many people about. Beyond at the drink house a little distance up the road, with women who were waiting on the streets. Come to the side of the house, where she had photographs of monkeys and human kittens and the statue of a bulldog named Chester. Ma and Miss Koo had a nice room facing the front of the house, and the Gov and I slept in a room facing the front too, facing Detroit and the river. Off the light, and the bed creaked as he settled down. Windowsill, picking up the sounds of the busy night, thinking lovely present, thinking that, as the old tree had said, I was now home, wanted, living in peace and happiness. Knew I could do anything, or go anywhere in the house. I took particular care to do nothing that could offend even me. Far off France. Gough's motto, do as you would be done by. Gently and I walked across his bed to make sure that he was all right. Zip, out came wood and was hard to believe it. The road to downstairs, shall we go and rip his throat out? I thought for a moment, Siamese cats to do such things in defense of property. But then I thought that we were supposed to be civilized, so I said, no, I think we should call the Gov, Miss Koo, you knock seven bells out of a burglar. The bed and gently patted the Gov on the shoulder, put a hand and rubbed my chin. And a moment later continuing down the stairs, there had pound joined the Gov. Breeze was blowing through an opened window, air humping gollywogs in awe. The guy has broken out the window frame side to nail up the broken woodwork. Elise and Spiffer, a gang of children, had stolen the back gate. Ma phoned the police, and when at long last a policeman came, he said, "Oh, you're lucky they did not take the roof from over your heads." Have a high sense of responsibility, pals, and we guard also those whom we love even when it costs us our life. Centuries and centuries ago there lived an old man who was the keeper of the wilds to an ancient lamasery in the far, far east forest, sharing his cave home with a small Siamese queen cat who had seen much of the sorrows of life. But the old keeper, who was venerated as a saint, and the little Siamese cat trod the forest paths, she keeping a respectful distance behind him in search of animals who were ill or hungry, bringing comfort to those afflicted and aid to those with broken limbs. Thieves, exhausted by an unusually tiring day, when they were fast asleep, fearing no danger, for they were the friends of all the animals. Warthog and the tiger respected and loved the keeper and the cat. Bestowers of the night, a poisonous snake, with evil intent, crawled into the cave, jealous, and with the insane evil that only a poisonous snake could display, it slithered onto the sleeping monk's leafy bed and was about to strike him with poisoned fangs. The cat jumped on the back of the snake's neck, distracting its attention from the now awakened keeper. It was long and fierce, with the snake writhing and squirming across the length and breadth of the cave. At last, almost collapsing from exhaustion, the cat bit through the spinal column of the snake, which soon became still in death. Disengage the little cat from the monstrous folds of the dead snake. Belong you and your kind have guarded us and our temples in the homes, the hearths, and the hearts of man. From now on our destinies shall be joined. All this as we trooped back to our bedrooms and lay down to sleep. He tweaked my ears, then rolled over and fell asleep. 11. Fief. Miss Koo came running up the stairs in a great state of agitation. Bumly as she dashed into the kitchen to get some food. His head? I could not understand what she meant. I knew that he had taken Miss Koo for a drive to Riverside. More than an hour, Miss Koo said he had gone off his head. I jumped up to the windowsill and thought about it. In the river a ship hooted the signal which the Gov had told us meant I am turning to port. Soft patter of small feet, and Miss Koo jumped lightly up to sit beside me. He's got a rock in his head the size of the hill of Howth, she said as she carefully washed herself. How has the Gov gone off his head? Ow! She replied. We were driving along so peacefully and suddenly the old man got a bee in his bonnet. He stopped the car and looked at the engine. Don't like the sound of it, he said. I know that something is going to happen. Sitting there like a stuffed duck, saying nothing. Again, and as we drove off he said, we will take Koo home and then go on to the garage and see what other cars they have. Umped in like a load of garbage while they go gallivanting off in my car. Edge of the sill, muttering to herself. Gee. Oh golly. Miss Koo jumped up and did not know the cause of the excitement. My. She squealed, her voice becoming higher and higher. It's real cute, real smart, a smashing automobile. White and pink, still waiting for her to calm down and tell me what was happening. Then I heard a car door shut and seconds later the Gov and Ma came up the stairs. New car, eh? Asked Buttercup. Good. I thought, now I shall get the story. Yes, another car, a Mercury, said the Gov. Only one owner, and a low mileage, a really good car. I think the camshaft is going to give trouble on the other. This one is on trial for the day. Want to come out? She at least would not be forgotten. Coming for a ride in the new car, thief? Asked the Gov, rubbing my chin. No thank you, I replied. I will stay here with Ma and keep house. He told me I was an old stick in the mud and then went on down the stairs, for when they returned to answer it, because telephones do not like to be kept waiting. She listened for a time. I could hear the faint sounds from the telephone, not loud enough for me to comprehend, though. When he comes back, said Ma. She and Mrs. Durr talked for a time, then Ma went back to her work at the Gov, Buttercup and Miss Koo coming up the back stairs after putting away the car. Durr phoned, said Ma. Just a friendly call, but she has had some trouble. Someone has let her down with the premises she was going to take. We all liked Mrs. Durr. After working hard for another firm she was going to set up her own bookshop which was to be called Bookland, of Darwin Plaza, Windsor. Quite a state, said Ma. She has nowhere to store the books and things until she can move into the new shop at Dorwin. Got on with his tea, saying nothing until he had finished. Then, how long would she want the place?
Not more, said Ma.
As apartment for a month.